This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Well, let's get right to it. We have new reaction coming in at this hour on our breaking news. A New York grand jury has voted to indict former President Trump. It is the first criminal case in U.S. history brought against a former president. Now, it centers around Trump's alleged role in falsifying business records to hide campaign finance violations. It's tied to a hush money payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels, made just days before Trump was elected president in 2016. We don't know the specifics yet of the indictment. It is expected to be made public in the coming days. But the former president has already responded, saying, quote, "This is political persecution and election interference at the highest level in history." He has called the investigation a witch hunt and maintained he has done nothing wrong. All right, well, the office of Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg will negotiate with the Trump team on the conditions for the former president's surrender to authorities. CBS News has now learned Trump will be fingerprinted and his Secret Service detail will be along with him. So let's get a live look now. Here's the Trump Tower in Manhattan. CBS News reporting the full NYPD has been asked to mobilize for any potential trouble. Earlier this month, in anticipation of an indictment, the former president urged his supporters on social media to protest. All right, in the past hour, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi issued a statement saying, in part, "No one is above the law and everyone has the right to a trial to prove innocence. Hopefully, the former president will peacefully respect the system which grants him that right." So joining us now to talk about all of this is Caroline Heldman, a professor of critical theory and social justice at Occidental College. And thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Let's get your reaction, your personal reaction when the indictment came down. The president, former president, wasn't even expecting this today.
I don't think anyone was expecting this, except maybe the grand jury. As you noted, a majority of them voted to indict him. And as much as he wants to cast this as being a partisan process, it's a jury of his peers. I guess in some sense, he's got four investigations ongoing. I was surprised that this was the first one where an indictment will be coming down. You know, he has the investigation in Georgia into phone calls he placed and pressure he put on local officials to find votes. There are also two federal probes going on with special counsel Jack Smith, who's looking into January 6th. He's looking into the fake elector slates, and he's also looking into Trump's classified document handling. So if you want to look at all of the cases, this is definitely maybe, I want to say small potatoes. I mean, it could be a felony, a low-level felony. We're not sure of the charges yet, but I guess I was surprised that it hit first.
Yeah, so let's go a little bit further. Obviously, he's going to face the fingerprinting and all of that next week from what we're hearing. But what are the potential implications when we're talking about a presidential run in 2024?
Well, it looks like he might be managing perhaps multiple court cases as well as a campaign. At the federal level, he can pardon himself. So if Jack Smith comes down with indictments at the federal level, he can pardon himself if he is elected president again. Not at the state level, not in New York and Georgia. And what he's facing in New York is an interesting case because it's basically a claim that he falsified business documents, which would be a misdemeanor, except that Bragg is alleging that he did this misdemeanor, he engaged in this while he was trying to commit another crime, and that would be a federal violation of election law. So who knows? There are three options here. There could be a plea deal, it could go to a jury trial, and then he could either be found guilty or not guilty, or a judge could throw it out before it gets to trial.
And where does Michael Cohen stand in all of this? He faced the charges, the implications, had to plead guilty. So could he have a vendetta against his one-time boss, and where could that stand in all of this?
Well, it's fascinating because Michael Cohen did jail time for federal charges for violating election law. And that they didn't file charges against Trump in that. But that is what Bragg, the prosecutor in New York, is using to elevate this misdemeanor to a federal charge. So in some sense, the fact that Cohen has already done jail time really speaks to the severity of the violation at the federal level.
All right. Professor Heldman, thank you so much. We'll be in touch, I'm sure, in the days to come. Appreciate your time this evening. All right, let's get to Kelsey Thorne. She's live in Daly City with a lot of Bay Area reactions. So what are you hearing right now, Kelsey?
Well, Well, Julia, it's really mixed. And I think also this is still relatively new information. So a lot of people, a lot of commuters that we talked to here who were just getting off the BART, getting on their way home from work, we were actually the first ones to inform some people that former President Trump had been indicted. But some people did already know, they had already heard about it, and there was definitely mixed reaction. We talked to a gentleman here as well as another woman. They both had different takes on their feelings of this indictment news. Here's some of what both of them had to say.
Every legal, you know, governmental agency has been after him, and this is all they found. So if they can go to that much trouble to indict him for this, I hate to see what's coming up down the road. To me, this is absolutely ridiculous.
I think he's got a lot of support that other people who commit crimes don't have. So I wonder if he would have to serve time. Well, I think our justice system needs to be, like, carried out. Yeah, I think that, you know, if justice is going to be served, yes. Yeah, for everyone, too, to see that people aren't special.
And that is what we heard from a lot of the people that we spoke with here. I think there's still a lot of questions, right? We don't really know exactly what these charges are going to be. I think a lot of people are waiting to get more information before they really come up with a stronger opinion on this. But you heard there, some people are worried that this could set a precedent for future presidents and other politicians being indicted for an assortment of crimes. But there's other people, like that woman, who said it shouldn't matter who you are. Of course, if you are charged with a crime, you should be held accountable and go through the entire judicial process. So very interesting to hear kind of first reactions from people here tonight.
I agree. I feel like you got a good mix out there. So far, so good. All right. Thank you so much, Kelsey. We'll check in with you a little bit later on. We have much more coverage and analysis on the indictment ahead coming up on the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell right after this newscast. All right, let's get closer to home. There's new fallout from a police scandal in the city of Antioch. Today, the mayor announcing several more police officers are on leave for violating policy. Now, they wouldn't give specifics, but the Bay Area News Group reports it's at least 8 officers accused of sending or receiving racist and homophobic text messages. That's on top of the 8 officers already suspended as part of a probe by the FBI and Contra Costa County DA's office into alleged civil rights violations. Now, there are currently 115 sworn officers on the force, according to the city. Sean Chitness spoke with business owners who worry about the impact to public safety.
The businesses we talk to say it just feels like the city can't create a safe place for people to live and work. The restaurant behind me still has damage from the last time someone broke in and stole equipment they never got back.
It's not a priority call. We don't have anybody available. We'll get there as soon as possible.
Last month, Dwayne Gilliland watched on security cameras as someone broke into Hillcrest Restaurant and Tap House. Police didn't arrive until 4 hours later. Since then, they've repaired the doors and still have the rock that was used to break in.
I don't hold the police responsible because they're so short-staffed and they're working with the best resources they have available.
But some of the damage still remains, and they're trying to get insurance to cover their losses. Over at Muscle Maker Grill, they were one of many businesses hit by thieves at this strip mall. The owner says they got their equipment back, but he still worries about someone else trying to break in.
You want to feel safe, you know? You want, what do you do in your business? You want to feel safe. Like, it's your home. It should be the same. You should feel safe.
To say that I am outraged is an understatement as it relates to this matter.
Antioch Mayor Lamar Thorpe said the city will need to look to outside agencies for help now that more police officers are going on leave.
We as a city have every intention of respecting confidentiality and due process. That being said, we're also not going to sweep these matters under the rug as we've done in the past.
The latest loss in officers available to patrol the city makes businesses question how long they can survive here.
Open your eyes and do what you have to do to get, you know, to get things done, to get people to feel safe. Otherwise, they're all going to move out.
But they've built a following with customers, so they want to keep going and support Antioch.
Don't get mad about it. You know, there's no reason to get mad. You know, am I disappointed in what's happening? Absolutely. Do I support my city and my community? Absolutely.
And we reached out to the police department to see if they have any comment after what the mayor said and to tell us the specific number of officers that will be on leave. We're still waiting to hear back.
All right, Sean, thank you. Well, the executive director of the San Jose Police Officers Association is due in court tomorrow to face federal charges of attempting to import and distribute fentanyl and other opioids. And we first reported that yesterday. Federal prosecutors say 64-year-old Joanne Marion Segovia had been using her work computer to order controlled substances from abroad since 2015. According to the complaint, Segovia tried to blame the drug activity on her housekeeper. All right, here's a picture from the Department of Homeland Security. You can see a UPS shipping label with J. Segovia and SJPOA written right on it. In a statement, the union said no one else at the POA was involved or had prior knowledge of the alleged acts, and that they pledged to provide their full support, that is, in this entire investigation. All right, let's head to Solano County, where storm damage along 680 actually severed a main water line that was serving Benicia. So the city's now saying the line was installed back in the 60s and carries 4.5 million gallons of water a day. Until it is back online, residents and businesses in Benicia are being asked to cut their water usage by 40%.
Do your part to conserve water. Take shorter showers. Do laundry less frequently. These are the things that you can do to help this community out. Number two, be patient. This is an incident that happened a day ago. We are still assessing the damage.
So right now, it's not clear when the water line will be repaired, but local businesses are making adjustments where they can.
We will try to have full loads for our dishes and so on, but it's very difficult for a restaurant to cut back extremely due to our health department requirements.
So the city does have a secondary water source. It will draw from Lake Herman for now. And while Benicia's situation is not drought related, this does remind us about our dependence on water and how we are still vulnerable. So here is California's latest drought map, where we see all of the Bay Area is officially out of the drought. In fact, less than 2% of the state is now in severe drought or worse. So pretty incredible to think that last October first, that number, what, Paul, was 94%?
Yeah, for severe drought across the state. So what does it take to have that kind of improvement? An exceptional winter, not record-setting, but we are now in the top 20 wettest water years on record for downtown San Francisco, which has the longest period of record, dating back to the winter of 1849-1850, the gold rush. We've received 32.3 inches of rain so far in San Francisco, very close to the winter that we had 6 years ago, but nowhere close to record territory. And not a whole lot of additional rain in the forecast. We'll take a look at the full 7-day outlook in just a few minutes.
Storm-battered businesses along the Santa Cruz County coast are a step closer to finally reopening. Capitola was ground zero during the big January storms. You may recall these dramatic videos of the pier collapsing into the water. Well, now local businesses are putting up the finishing touches, and they're hoping to reopen by Easter.
Electrical is kind of holding us up because we can't get any nice weather to do the electrical outside.
We still don't have our dining room, so there's still a lot of things being worked out. What I've learned in this reconstruction process is you can't really put a time on anything.
All right, by the way, the restaurant manager who just spoke is also the mayor of Capitola. So she came into office just before the storm hit.